League's Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning League's Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. League's Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.
Independent thinking, unrestricted opinions. You're tuned in to the Killer Bees on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Joel Blank and Jeremy Branham.
Get into the Christmas spirit during our 12 days of giving. On the third day, we'd like to give back to the Center for Pursuit. The center promotes the pursuit of choice, growth, and independence for adults who... For adults with intellectual and developmental disabilities, autism, or similar conditions. We encourage you, our wonderful listeners, to head to ESPN975.com/12days to give what you can. Plus, David Gal, CEO of Gal Media, has generously agreed to match donations to each charity up to $500. So head to ESPN975.com/12days to make your donation to Center for Pursuit now. No donation will go unnoticed. 713-780-ESPN, 713-780-3776. Harden was the best student in the classroom. However, he refused to listen to the professor, CP3, while slapping his hands away.
I love Brother Bear. That's fine. It's the other one that's got me. And it's the same clown that continually hates if I don't say anything but sunshine and rainbows about the Rockets. But for someone to text in, by the way, not put their name on it. I wonder why. I'm sorry, but what did you expect from that Westbrook deal? The dude was overpaid and washed up. You weren't going to get much in return. The deal was neutral. No, it really wasn't, because the subsequent deal that Tommy Shepard made with the Wizards when he traded the same guy to the Lakers for three starters and two draft picks is the kind of deal you should have expected. Not to take someone else's trash and the massive salary that went with it and go, this is all we can get for him. That is exactly... the issue. That is a problem. That is a massive problem. And that's why Tommy Shepard got an extension and a raise, because it was a savvy move. And the fact that Harden was behind a lot of the other moves is even worse. The fact that he wanted his buddy, but he didn't realize when trying to get Russell Westbrook, that when you get Russell Westbrook, it wasn't a fit, because James had to have the ball in his hands every possession. Well, when you watch Oklahoma City play, who had to have the ball in their hands every possession to get what they got? Now you're going to take two guys and go, you'll work it out. I have confidence in you, and you're going to be better at that than Chris Paul. Stop it.
Now, just think about it, too, from like the money that you're having to commit to John Wall. To say that the Westbrook deal for John Wall was a wash is completely false.
Ridiculous.
Because Russell Westbrook has been a free agent. He signed with the Lakers this last offseason, so that means he's off your books. He would no longer have been on your books.
Russell Westbrook didn't sign with the Lakers. He was traded.
Okay, well, you'd been able to get rid of the contract.
No, it was an existing contract. He has one more year after this left.
Right, but what did they get in return is my point.
Three starters and two draft picks.
I'm talking about Washington.
Washington got three starters and two draft picks for Russell Westbrook.
And you cleared Russell Westbrook off your books.
Correct.
So now that you weren't able to get something like that, just the fact that you have Wall instead of Westbrook, you could have flipped Westbrook, gotten Westbrook off your books. You're still committed to 90-something million over the next 2 years. You can't call it a wash.
No, and that's directly related to James Harden, because he forced you to do that. So he forced you to have your organization in this situation. I lived it from – this team was in the Western Conference Finals, and there was a line drawn in the sand in the locker room. You're either on Team Dwight or Team James. And James was pushing the narrative because he hated Dwight, although he wanted Dwight at the start. Now he hated him, and now he went to each and every guy in that locker room and was like, are you on Team Dwight? Are you on Team James? At practice, he wouldn't help Dwight up, but he'd help only guys that were on Team James. It was so petty. It was so childish. And you said this in the break, and you're absolutely right. It was like a child – it was all child's play in the immaturity and the way he reacted on a daily basis, but yet they continued to give him every single thing he wanted, and it set this franchise back more than it helped them get where they wanted to go.
713-780-ESPN, 713-780-3776. There's one thing that James Click could do in free agency. I understand the baseball's in a lockout right now, but whenever it's over, that would change my opinion of James Click. I like James Click. I like his background. I like the fact that he came from Tampa Bay. I think Tampa Bay's the shrewdest organization in baseball. the way that they can pinch pennies and get the most for that penny is better than anybody else in Major League Baseball for like the last decade, maybe two decades. So I like that background. I like what Click has done so far with the Houston Astros. I bashed earlier Nick Caserio not having the foresight to trade Zach Cunningham when he had value in the offseason. But look at a couple of the things that James Click has done in the past. He re-signed Yuli Gurriel whenever he was absolutely terrible and had the foresight that he was going to be pretty good. He helped the bullpen at the trade deadline. He re-signed Verlander. Maybe you give that to Crane. But one thing that Click could do in free agency from coming from somebody that likes him that would change my opinion of him is signing Trevor Story. Like, I'm tired of hearing that the Astros are involved with Trevor Story. I'm tired of hearing Trevor Story being an option for the Houston Astros. And the thing that I'll always point to is the Coors Field effect. Sure. The splits are unbelievable. A Coors Field in the course of his career, 241 average. At home, 303. 60-point split in his batting average. The OPS, 972 at home. 752 away. That is too much to be spending $25 to $30 million on a dude who can't hit away from Coors Field. Good glove, great. You don't spend $25 to $30 million on a good glove. And you want to start going through some of the players in the past who left Coors Field and then the trouble that they had hitting the baseball once they left Coors Field? Troy Tulowitzki, who people compare to Trevor Story. He was traded in 2015. He was an all-star that year. He hit 300 that season, 818 OPS. Went to Toronto.
Blue Jays, yeah.
He hit 239 with a 697 OPS for Toronto. And now injuries hurt his career, but they didn't hurt him the next year in 2016 when he played 131 games. 254 that year, 761 OPS. Then he had the injuries and wasn't the same player. People point to Nolan Arenado as somebody who left Coors Field and still hit at a high level. That's not true either. Arenado, 320 lifetime average at Coors Field. 982 lifetime OPS at Coors Field. First season away from Coors Field as a Cardinal, 255 average, 807 OPS. Nolan Arenado is not an example of why Trevor Story would work away from Coors Field. He's an example of why you stay away from Trevor Story.
Now, here's what I would say about that, because I agree with you. James Click, if you're going to be graded on that move, as long as you repurpose the dollars, that's where I think James Click solidifies his legacy, right? It doesn't mean you have to bring Carlos Correa back. And it certainly doesn't mean you have to make a splash at the shortstop position because the pickings are getting slim. But what it does mean is you don't sit and rest on what just happened and do nothing, right? If you repurpose it to go get a center fielder that's an all-star, if you repurpose it to get one more pitcher that you need and one more position player that can help to make you better and you spend some of the money, then I'm okay with it. It all isn't cut and dried at what you do at the shortstop position because like we've talked about and I've said, I realized last year the two biggest holes in your lineup from a hitting perspective alone was center field and catcher.
Yeah.
If you can improve center field because you know shortstop's going to come down a little bit.
You flip it.
I'm fine with that. But be creative and be savvy in the way you do this, but don't just sit back and go, whatever happens, happens, and I'm either going to make the splash and overspend one way or the other on Correa or Story, I'm going to do nothing. That would be just a really disappointing move by James Click.
Troy Tulowitzki, never the same player. Arenado's average dropped close to 70 points from Coors Field over the course of his career to just one season in St. Louis. His OPS dropped 180 points. Matt Holliday, Vinny Castilla, Dante Bichette, Eric Young, list goes on and on. The one name that everybody's yelling at me that has the devil's advocate point of view, that has the counterpoints, DJ LeMahieu. Different type of player, though. DJ LeMahieu doesn't rely on power. These other guys rely on power. Trevor Story's game is power. DJ LeMahieu, career high in home runs, not that high. He's not a power hitter. He's a contact hitter. That's the noticeable difference between all of these dudes and DJ LeMahieu.
Look, there's always an exception to the rule, too, right?
But LeMahieu's not a power guy.
Right, you're not going to have 100% numbers in your argument's favor. But if the numbers are overwhelming in your favor and there's that one or two guys that actually did better when they left Coors Field, then so be it. But the percentages still tell you and dictate to you that your point is more right than it's wrong.
Especially if you get $25, $30 million a year like
he's
demanding.
What if he accepts half the money you're offering Correa?
If he's paying, well, I don't care about what Correa's value is. Like, I need a half of what Trevor Story thinks he's worth. He needs to pay the Coors Field tax if I'm going to sign Trevor Story.
So if he takes 20 to 25 in the Bregman range.
That's too much for a dude that hits 240 away from Coors Field over the course of his career. And is slightly, you know, right around an average OPS. Like, you can find a really good glove in free agency that you're not going to pay $20 million to. So, yeah. I also don't see how it's logistical. Like the Astros, I'm of the opinion that they're not going to go over the $210 million luxury tax threshold, which is going to change, but it won't change next season. Like they're going to escalate it up over time. The Astros have about $24 million to spend under the luxury tax. So if you were to sign Trevor Story, you're done. And like you also have to get him for under $25 million, which I'm not sure that he would even do. So I don't even see how it's logistical where the Astros would have the money to sign Trevor Story. I'm tired of hearing that name. I'm tired of hearing that name associated with Houston. And if James Click signs him, changes my opinion on James Click as a general manager for the Houston Astros. What do you think, Houston? 713-780-ESPN, 713-780-3776. Well, I guess Tyrod Taylor isn't hurt after all. At least that's serious. We'll get into it next. Killer Bees, ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5. But first, a minute on Pro Dunk Hoops. It's the best goal on the planet. Tempered glass backboard. It gives you that authentic feel when you miss some shots, which I do a lot of. Adjustable goals for every part of the game. You can lower it down, throw down some huge jams, have a little bit of a slam dunk competition. Be like Vince Carter and say it's over. Raise it up to regulation if you're looking to work on your shot or if you have a kid working on their game and they want to improve that jump shot. Competition-grade breakaway rim. It's perfect for dunking, hanging, keeping you safe. It also has the extended overhang, which keeps a clear path under the rim. Can't sprain your ankle on that basketball stanchion. Keeps you and your loved ones safe. Durability of strength, the ProDunk Hoops, stainless steel fasteners, thicker steel, and exclusive rust armor, making them sturdy and strong. The best feature, they install the goal. Yes, ProDunk Hoops professionally installs the goal for you at the perfect height, perfectly straight. You don't do a thing. Let the pros at ProDunk Hoops do all of the work for you. ProDunk Hoops goals come in a variety of sizes and options. They'll be the perfect fit for your driveway or yard. Give them a call, 281-351-9822, and visit ProDunkHoops.com. That's ProDunkHoops.com.
Razor-sharp commentaries delivered with a purpose. You found the Killer Bees on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Joel Blank and Jeremy Branham.
No, he should be all right with it. He should be all right.
What did the MRI show?
He had a little hyperextension, and it's swollen up on him.
I'm confused with what's going on with one Tyrod Taylor. That was David Culley earlier today in the firestorm of the media availability that he had with the release of Zach Cunningham, with news on who's going to be the starting quarterback on Sunday. We saw the report, I think it was NFL Network, saying, I believe it was Monday, that Tyrod Taylor is going to be week to week with a wrist injury and that Davis Mills will start on Sunday. First chance that David Culley's had to speak since that report. And he said, look, Tyrod Taylor's not being ruled out. He's not going to make a decision on his starting quarterback yet. Like, we had the report that torn ligament in his left wrist couldn't grip the football. I'm confused with what's going on right now between Tyrod Taylor and David Culley. Seems like there's a lot of mystery on that left wrist.
I think we all are. And I think that, and Brendan, I want to give you credit for this, but I think in our pre-show discussions, the issue is you're either healthy or you're not. If you're healthy enough to be the backup quarterback, then if you believe everything that Culley and Kasary have told us, or at least the decisions they've made, then he should continue to be the starting quarterback. But if you're not healthy enough to be the starting quarterback, then you shouldn't be on the active roster as the backup quarterback. And I think that was spot on by you.
Well, see, as Jeremy said, this whole situation is confusing because they led us to believe that the injury was the reason he was benched. And we're hearing from Culley today that it's going to have nothing to do with the decision moving forward. I feel like literally what's happening is they are trying to confuse us. There's no sense to be made of the comments about Tyrod Taylor this week.
Probably at least like maybe it's gamesmanship like with Seattle, because you know NFL teams do this. They don't announce who's starting at quarterback because they don't want to give the information to the other team. It's stupid. It's antiquated. Like, it really doesn't matter because it's Tyrod Taylor and it's Davis Mills. Like, okay, Seattle, game plan for both of them. We're going to show you. We're showing you what it's like coming to NRG Stadium. We're not telling you who's starting between Tyrod Taylor, one of the worst quarterbacks in the NFL, and Davis Mills, a catastrophe of a draft pick for Nick Kasary. We're not going to tell you who's starting. But you know that's how NFL teams think. They don't want to give that information. They want to make it harder for the other team. So to me, it's part that. I also feel like the injury, like to me at least, on Sunday, whenever Tyrod Taylor left the game with the wrist injury, and Cully said that he couldn't grip the ball, which was kind of mocked because it's his left hand, not his right hand. Why do you need a left hand to grip the football whenever he's a right-handed quarterback? But he said something along the lines of taking snaps, whatever. But then we also saw the report that he had a torn ligament in his left wrist, so it seems authentic. I thought at first that this was Cully's way of trying to save face with, like, the fan base, that he wasn't lying to you by saying Tyrod Taylor's our quarterback. And he also had the quote saying that unless Tyrod Taylor gets hurt, Tyrod Taylor's our quarterback. And then also partly protecting Tyrod Taylor. Like, instead of Tyrod Taylor being outright benched for Davis Mills in this game Sunday because he was terrible against the Colts, it was an injury.
You got an out.
Yes, you got
a built-in out. You got a built-in out, and not just for Tyrod Taylor, but for doing what, when we go to the Tim Duncan sweepstakes, right? For doing what you should have been doing all along, right? You've got the built-in out now so that you can't – look, everybody believes, kind of, that you were trying to win. And you were giving your team the best chance to win by putting Tyrod out there. But now that Tyrod's got the wrist, everything lines up for you to do what you were supposed to do from the start and just tell him, you know what? It also saves face for him to get a job next year. You're hurt. We'll shut you down. You can't play anymore. It also sets us up beautifully to see what we got in Davis Mills, but more so embrace the suck so that we can lose the rest of our games and be where we need to be for the foreseeable future. And everything is set right there. All you got to do is go with it. And yet, again, you can't get out of your own way and you do wrong right. It is mind-boggling on a daily basis. And it is fodder for us that, look, it, part of me says keep doing it because it's so easy to talk about. But why do you keep doing it? It's just like, hey, here's your way to clear it all up. Wipe your hands clean, and no one's going to point the finger at you and say you're not doing the things you're supposed to be doing, and yet they still can't do it right.
What do you think the chances are that Tyrod Taylor is a Houston Texan next year?
Zero now.
I think so, too, because, like, there was a start. At the start of the year, he played good through the first six quarters. I mean, he beat Jacksonville. He looked really good in the first two quarters against Cleveland. Then when he came back from his hamstring injury, he reminded everybody why he's Tyrod Taylor and has never been a permanent starter in the NFL, and then he's just not that good. I think he's a solid backup. I don't think he's a good NFL starter. I'm with you. Like, he's only on a one-year deal with the Texans. You have Davis Mills, who I don't think the Texans are really sold on. I'm not sure if the Texans ever even wanted him to play this season because they brought in Tyrod. There are also reports that Cam Newton, before he signed with Carolina, that the Houston Texans actually called on Cam Newton, which gives me the thought that they never wanted Davis Mills to see the field. They basically wanted to redshirt him because, I mean, he probably does need to be in college for another season. Yep. He probably left too early. It's hard for me to say because he's still a third rounder. He's making $1 million probably. You know what I mean? I'm with you. There's I also like Tyrod Taylor's
journeyman.
Back.
And it's unfortunate you call him a journeyman. He had some success throughout his career. He got a Buffalo Bills team to the playoffs.
But
injuries and otherwise,
there.
He's always been a journeyman, right? But at a certain point when you've had a certain amount of years in the league, you realize before I get out of this game, I want to experience winning. I want to get a chance at a ring. I want to do a lot of different things. If I can get a check from anywhere else, regardless of what this culture is or isn't in the locker room, I don't want to have another season like this because it's taxing on the players too, as much as we don't believe that they have to deal with a lot of this other stuff. It's so taxing as a player to know almost every week you're going to be an underdog and you're going to lose and it sucks that you're probably, and with the value being put on having a good backup these days in the NFL, there's another job for Tyrod Taylor out there. He's going to carry a clipboard for millions of dollars, but it's probably going to be better suited for a team, for both parties, to be with a team where I have a chance to win, get out of this hellhole, and maybe resurrect the rest of my career as a backup by not getting hit, not getting whatever is wrong with your wrist and otherwise, and yet being able to experience the last couple of years of my career in a better environment.
713-780-3776. 5208 texting. So who could the Texans have for quarterback next year if Tyrod Taylor is gone, if his days as a Texan are numbered? To me, there are three options. One of them is you just sit through the year with Davis Mills and you embrace the suck all over again, hoping you get Bryce Young in the 2023 NFL draft, because I like Bryce Young a lot.
Yeah, I do too.
The other option is that you do take a quarterback in this year's draft. I don't want it to be with your first pick. If you trade down, maybe it's somebody in the teens. I don't hate the idea of maybe drafting one in the second round if somebody slides. I think that could be an option. But the favorite option for me, as far as next season goes, I want to bring in a veteran quarterback who once had a lot of promise that maybe had a bad year that you're hoping to revitalize their career and then flip them. Flip them at the November 2nd trade deadline of 2022. And I think there's some options out there, like Jameis Winston could potentially be an option.
Is Jimmy G free at the end of the year?
He's not free, no.
Oh, I was going to say, if he was a free agent, that's the kind of guy. Jameis is a good call.
I think Baker Mayfield's a good call.
But Baker, you'd have to make a trade for.
Yeah.
He's got it because he's got contract left. But here's the thing.
It could also be in a Watson trade if it's Jalen Hurts in Philly, if it's Tua in Miami.
Who?
Tua.
Have you seen him play lately?
He's looked all right.
He's looked really better than all right.
Throwing the ball 5 yards down the field, though.
Better than all right.
They're protecting him.
That's not a discussion we need to revisit right now. But here's the thing. When you look at it, it's the same way you've looked at your management, right? It's the same way you looked at your head coach. It's a bridge the gap situation.
Yeah.
That's the way you look at it, because I'm with you on Bryce Young. That's the guy I'm targeting, and that's the guy that I need to put all my eggs in that basket on, and that's a year away. So what I need to do right now is I need to find a guy like David Culley that's just going to keep me moving in the direction that this franchise needs to be moving.
Maybe
short
a little
term.
Better than that. Maybe right. A better bridge.
Right. I'm saying from just semantics of the process, right? You're looking for a bridge gap. You're not. I'm not saying for the same skill sets that David Culley
brings
for his
position.
You don't
need your franchise quarterback
next
year.
No, you don't. And so that's why you look for a lot of those options. Look, here's another one for you that kind of has gone under the radar, but might be the perfect fit. Because of the fact that he, in short doses, Marcus Mariota is sitting behind Carr with the Raiders. When he's come in and when Carr got dinged up in a game, he's moved the chains. He can run. He's multidimensional. He's been there in experiences to where he's a poor man's Tua in a lot of ways, and he's a poor man's whatever you're looking for in a lot of ways because it's going to be at a lesser dollar figure.
Yeah.
But he could be a guy that gets you through a year or two until you get the guy that essentially becomes your franchise quarterback.
That's a good name. I hadn't thought about that one. And this isn't like the idea to bring in this type of player with the aspirations that a Marcus Mariota or a Baker Mayfield or a Jameis Winston gets you to the playoffs. Mm-hmm. This is, like you said, a bridge to hopefully you can get a Bryce Young in the 2023 NFL draft. This is also a way for you to bring back draft capital because of a Mariota, of a Mayfield, of a Winston. If you bring that guy in and they actually look pretty good, and then all of a sudden you have a team in playoff contention that has their quarterback get hurt for the rest of the season, you flip them for a third. You use your cap space wisely with the idea of this is going to be something
if
we're doing
Texans,
for the future.
You flip them for a seventh. But yeah, I get what you're saying.
They're going to do what's in the best interest of whatever quarterback they brought in and trade them for the worst possible draft pick they can.
We're going to appease the player instead of getting best for the franchise.
You know, one thing that the Texans did over the weekend that I actually liked and I thought was smart, and this is difficult to say as we bash the Texans because it is a day to bash the Texans with the quarterback saga and the Zach Cunningham getting waived thing. I actually like that they signed Tre'Mont Smith over the weekend. And it's not the fact that I'm in love with the player. It's not that I love Tre'Mont Smith and what he brings to the team. It's that I like the change in philosophy from the previous regimes where once you get in season, they're not going to talk contract extensions with you, which I always thought was the stupidest thing. I think this is something that is smart from Nick Caserio that he's changed with the Houston Texans. Why not keep your options open? Like, if you can pull one over on the player and lock him up for the future and get him for below market value, why would you not do that? Bill O'Brien wouldn't do that because it was week 15 of the NFL year. So a very small thing, and I point out all the red flags with Caserio. There are a ton of them. That's one small thing I do kind of like.
One small thing I liked on that same wavelength, Lance McCullers was the honorary team captain and got to be on the field because he's a winner. And because they associate, for one small glimpse of time, they associated themselves with a winner.
They did.
And so that's as far as I will go in positivity in giving them a gold star for making Lance McCullers their honorary team captain.
Fair enough.
That's it.
Wins are hard to come by for the Texans. Have you noticed any wins with the Texans? 713-780-3776. David Culley, the conversation of he's a one and done, has been a popular conversation after Nick Caserio didn't endorse him. Was that actually not an endorsement? And how do you feel about David Culley potentially being a one and done? It's the Killer Bees on ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5.
Hey, before we go to the break, I want to tell you about Frankie's Italian Kitchen. I've been telling you about them for quite a while. It's the only place you should go to if you're looking for good Italian food. Now, for some of you on the north side and otherwise, it might be a little bit of a drive. It's worth it. Go to frankiesitaliankitchentx.com. See what I'm talking about. The menu is unbelievable, and more so than just what it sounds like on paper, it's all made from scratch. It's all fresh ingredients. The owner is also the chef, my friend Chris Smith. He does it the right way. He prepares your food. And let me tell you some other things. It's a family-friendly environment. You don't have to get all foo-fooed up and dressed up and then get small portions and stuffy environment and a big check. No, it's quite the opposite. You're going to be filled to the gills with quality food and leave absolutely feeling full. So is your wallet because it's affordable. But the other thing you're going to remember is I want to come back and taste some of the other things on the menu, because if the what I ordered tasted this good, there's got to be more options. And there are. And that's why I always encourage you to go to frankiesitaliankitchentx.com and check the menu, because there's also going to be specials added on a weekly basis that are only there until everything runs out. And they are going to be extraordinary, but they have all the classics. Look, it starts with pizza. They're known for their pizza and their pizza oven. It used to be in their name, but now they want it to expand so that you know it's a full menu of Italian food. So it starts with pizza and even wings, but it gets to the beef stroganoff and the lasagna and all the different menu items they have that just reeks to sell you. It's just true Italian food made at its absolute finest. Check them out today. If you're in the Richmond, Fulshear, Sugarland, Katy area, it's right in your wheelhouse. If you're not that close, you can still get there in a short period of time, and it's going to be worth every minute of the drive. Check them out today. Frankie's Italian Kitchen, TX.com.
ESPN 97.5. Independent thinking, unrestricted opinions. You're tuned in to the Killer Bees on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Joel Blank and Jeremy Branham.
Get into the Christmas spirit during our 12 days of giving. On the third day, we'd like to give back to the Center for Pursuit. The center promotes the pursuit of choice, growth, and independence for adults with intellectual and developmental disabilities, autism, or similar conditions. We're encouraging you, our wonderful listeners, to head to ESPN975.com/12days to give what you can. Plus, David Gao, CEO of Gao Media, has generously agreed to match donations to each charity up to $500. So head to ESPN975.com/12days to make your donation to Center for Pursuit now. No donation will go unnoticed. 713-780-ESPN, 713-780-3776. Let's go out to the HRMP listener line. Curly, you're in the Hive with the Killer Bees. David.
Hello?
Curly. Yep.
Yes.
Floor's yours.
You just screwed him over. You screwed him up by with the David Curly. Curly, go.
He's still there.
Go, you're on the air, buddy. Go.
Yeah, I was saying y'all want the pick to lose the game, though.
Uh-huh.
And if they make no grown men, why they just win the game? They get paid to do that. Why don't they, if they're going to lose the game, just get a better draft? Why don't you just let the second string play? And then what they do, if they lose the game, if they lose the game, play hard out.
Appreciate the call, Curly. If you want to weigh in, 713-780-ESPN, 713-780-3776. I think that's the hard part of tanking. And, like, that's the thing that sometimes it's difficult to understand. Like, the 53 dudes in that locker room, David Culley, the coaching staff, they want to win the game. Like, that's their job, right? They have pride. They have some, you know, professionalism, unless you're Zach Cunningham and doesn't show up for COVID tests before the
Lonnie
game on
Johnson
Sunday.
Lonnie Johnson would like to have a word.
Lonnie Johnson would like to have a word. 75% of the 53 guys in that locker room, they have pride. They want to win the game. You get out there, you start playing, you want to win the game.
Do they, though?
They're competitors. I think so, yeah.
I mean,
you go
they
to pick
do,
up
no.
games all the time, okay. And you want to win that game, right?
It may be semantics. It might be more.
The
but here's where I would
do.
Say that. I don't know if they want to win the game. At this point in the season, they want to perform well because they want to build their resume. They want to put it on tape so that they have a job next year. So I think it's a little less important than it might have been early in the season that they to say that they want to win the game. They want to perform well so that they have job security here or elsewhere for next season. And if a win comes along with it, so be it. Some people might want to win just what screws the franchise up going forward because they've had to deal with this hellhole all year.
I don't think that.
And they plan on playing elsewhere next year.
You're talking about the players.
Yeah, I think some of the players might think, hey, you know what? Culture my ass. What I've had to endure this year and the fact that you now want us to lose or now you're actually trying to actually come clean in the fact that you want the team to not win the game but play well, hey, I'd chuckle in the fact that if we won a game now just to screw your draft pick over because I know I'm not going to be here next year, I could care less.
713-780-3776, 8755 saying tank for Bryce Young. I want Bryce Young.
I'm with you on that.
Texans. Like, that's why I don't really want a quarterback in 2022, where if you bring a quarterback, it's more of the veteran variety. Or maybe you use one of your picks that you have in the third round to take another quarterback and compete with Davis Mills. Maybe it's all three. Maybe it's a rookie in the third round. Maybe it's Davis Mills. Maybe it's a veteran. They're all competing for the job. And then you're hoping that you get the number one pick in 2023 for Bryce Young. The question now becomes, I think, is David Culley going to be the head coach for the Houston Texans next season? A lot's being made of the fact that Caserio told the flagship the other day that he wasn't thinking about the head coaching post until after the season was over. A lot of people read this, Joel, as like, okay, this is David Culley not endorsing his guy, which I guess legally, technically it is. To me, it sounded more Belichick-y. Like, this is the New England way where you're avoiding the question. I'm not going to talk about that until the season is over. Our focus is the focus. Our focus is the today. To me, it was more of that than an actual, like, lack of endorsement.
I don't know, though. You know, I think that, look, we know that if you come from the – you're cut from the mold of Patriots football, mm-hmm. you don't say a lot. And you keep it all close to the vest. But at the same time, with the way the whole season's gone, I think – maybe he did it just to avoid any more media scrutiny. Like, if this guy is stupid enough to keep this guy around for another year with all the things that have been going on. But I think on the flip side, I want to believe that you're right. That, look, it's also the Belichick way of we're on to the next game. We're on to Seattle. That's all we're focused on. We're not worried about next season. We still have plenty of this season left yet to play, even though you've been eliminated from the playoffs. But I heard the Wheelhouse talking about it, and I couldn't help but think the same thing. Like, look, this is a guy you hired. General managers go out of their way with players to play them even when they suck to try and vindicate themselves or justify the picking of the player in the draft or the bringing in the player if you brought him in free agency. Why wouldn't you, when you know that this guy is doing exactly what you wanted him to do for the most part, and be your puppet and be your bridge and carry you along the way and take all the bullets until it's time to get to winning and then get another guy in here? Why wouldn't you just say, look, he's got a 5-year deal or a 4-year deal or whatever it is. He's got multiple years left on his contract. This has only been year one. David Culley's going to be around. And look, we've also known, just like we say with used car salesmen, from a coaching perspective in colleges in particular, but general managers the same way. One minute they have a press conference when they say he's our guy, and whether it's a week later or at the end of the season, you change your mind. So what?
That to me is why it's not even like really a story when it comes to that, because even if he was like, yeah, he's our guy, then you're going to fire him anyway. So to me, it was more just him deflecting the question. But even if it is not endorsing David Culley, and everybody's going to grab this and say this is not an endorsement. Culley was asked about it today during his press conference about not being endorsed by Nick Caserio. Culley said, I'm very comfortable. Every day we come in this building, all we think about is getting better in the next opponent, which, sure, great.
Now, I'm comfortable because I know that whether he wants me or not, I got a contract for that's going to make me a millionaire four times over, or however much he signed for, until the contract's up, regardless whether I coach or not.
Now, what do you think of the idea of Culley being gone, being a one and done? Because in my opinion, he's going to be back. I believe that David Culley will get a second year with the Houston Texans. Would I bring him back? No, I wouldn't. You can get a better head coach out there than David Culley, even if it is another stopgap going forward. But listening to Nick Caserio talk, and even if he didn't endorse Culley earlier this week, he says he looks at everything in 2-year windows. This is year one for David Culley. Next year would be year two for David Culley. So I believe that David Culley is still going to be the head coach of the Houston Texans.
I do too.
Would I approve change? Yeah, I think it'd be great. I think it'd be cool going to the coaching carousel and talking about candidates for this team.
Yeah, but that's selfishly from a sports radio perspective.
Absolutely,
I think from the Texans' perspective, they're not ready to win yet. So all he is your CEO, right? And he's your mouthpiece, and whether he chews his tongue while he's doing it or not, it doesn't matter as much as getting the right coaching staff. So what really matters for next season is not a change at the head position where you already are on the hook to pay him anyway. It's where you can get out and make improvements. Tim Kelly's got to go. Change your coaching staff. I mean, look, if Pep Hamilton stays, I'm fine with it because he still has a reputation as a quarterback coach.
I think he's going to be your OC.
And if he's the OC, then we'll give him a shot, right? And at least it's new blood in a new position with presumably a new quarterback or Davis Mills or a combo to where you want to see this team progress from a coaching staff perspective. I mean, Lovie Smith's the only guy I think should be untouchable. He's the guy that should be back. But you shouldn't be focused on whether Culley's back or not, because really he's not calling plays and he's not, you know, telling you what to do on defense. He's just sitting there and taking shots for the team. You got to get the right offensive coordinator. You got to start building a coaching staff that's of NFL caliber. And then you start getting your first true draft class and start developing them. That's also why it's important, because the coordinators, the coaching positions for each position group, you're going to start developing true young talent that is going to be a part of your future as opposed to this season.
One thing that I would admire if they do get rid of David Culley at the end of the season, look, it'd be a loss for Nick Caserio, right? Firing a head coach after just one season, a head coach that he hired in a very awkward way and hiring a head coach, that's an L. That's Nick Caserio eating another L. But I also admire the fact that Nick Caserio is willing to admit that and move on, knowing that he could find a better head coach. That's something that I would actually admire if he fired Culley over. The other thing, though, that would worry me And look, I said this yesterday, how I feel like Nick Caserio loves power. And the fact that he hired Cully, somebody he can kind of control, is something that worries me going forward. So until Nick Caserio can hire a strong-minded head coach, that's always going to be a fear of mine. How about the candidates? Like, if you're lining up a murderer's row of coaching candidates that you want to hire as your NFL head coach, how many of those dudes are going to want to come to the Houston Texans and be your next head coach? That, to me, would be something that would be concerning as well.
Yeah, and how many guys want to work for Caserio unless you're an ex-Patriot guy or a Josh McDaniels type where you know that, hey, I know how he wants to do things and I'm willing to do it, as opposed to any other coach that figures over time, I want to have a say-so. I want to have my own voice be heard. I want to be a part of the process instead of just being a puppet. How many people are going to look at that and go, no, there's better opportunities for me, and or I'm not sure that's the right fit for anybody because of the way they've shown that they're going to do business and how quickly they cut the cord on a guy that he handpicked. It's so Bill O'Brien-esque. They get rid of Smith so that he can get a general manager. He picks his guy, and continually they kept saying, let Bill get his own guy in there, and then when his own guy doesn't work out, he gets rid of them too, so much so that it ends up being him, and that goes even worse if possible. So it's a bad set of circumstances to be in. But I also think from a financial aspect, you're not worried about the cap per se or any kind of financial losses, but it's bad from a business perspective, and it's on you that you made a long-term deal with a short-term candidate and it's shorter than you thought. That's why I think it's awful across the board, and I think that you're better suited getting your coaching staff right next season and then judging David Culley and hope that, look, he learned along the way too. We knew there were going to be growing pains and lumps because he's never done this before.
I want to get into the financial impact too. If David Culley is a one and done, what are the financial ramifications of that? We'll do that when we return. Also, there's an ESPN NFL reporter that doesn't think David Culley is going to be fired after year one. He thinks he's getting a second year, what he said, and also the Texans releasing Zach Cunningham today. Who is to blame? When you look at the Zach Cunningham release earlier today, it's the Killer Bees on ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5.
Hey, before we go to the break, I want to tell you about Apollo Men's Health. Look, Dr. O, it's his business. He worked at other businesses that deal with health issues. He knows what works, what doesn't, but he couldn't stand anymore the fact that on a daily basis, he had to try and sell people on things that were just cash grabs and things that actually made the company money but didn't get the results for the patients. So he started his own clinics. There's two locations, both located near downtown Houston to better serve you. But more so than that, they're going to serve you with better results. He's a results-oriented and results-driven doctor. Therefore, he's going to sit and listen to what you have going on, what you want to attack, what your issues are, and he wants to put you on a plan to get your results because that's how much he cares. On a daily basis, he makes sure he gets results for his clients and his patients, and he does so by listening, but he asks tough questions. If you're honest with your answers, he's going to get you results too. Believe me, I've been going there for over a year now, and the results he's gotten for me in terms of the weight that's been lost, the body fat that's been lost, the muscle that's been gained, the results in terms of my blood pressure, my cholesterol levels, all because of Dr. O and his staff, they can do that for you too. From the boardroom to the weight room to the bedroom, it starts with you taking care of you because your health is your wealth and you got to invest in yourself. Make that first appointment today. Go to ApolloMH.com. When you do, you're going to find out most major insurance is accepted, discounts for military personnel and first responders. Mention my name, Joel Blank, free B12 shot, which I get weekly on your first visit. That'll give you some energy all in itself, but then let it go from there. Answer the questions, let them put you on a plan, and get the results. They're great people doing great things on a daily basis. Check out the people at Apollo Men's Health.
This is ESPN 97.5. Real fun sports. Your team's our priority. Join the conversation with the Killer Bees. Now coming to you live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Joel Blank and Jeremy Branham.
Got a text in 713-780-ESPN, 713-780-3776. Would it be okay for Nick to fire three coaches, Culley one of them? He's horrible. Main job for this team and for this coaching staff is to develop young talent going forward, which is absolutely true. He says Lovey would be better if he took over and can manage the game a lot better, which, again, is 100% true. I want them to tank for Bryce Young, and that's when the Texans can actually rebuild. See, that to me is what's important for the head coach of this team. It's not going to be wins and losses. Not this year, probably not next year, probably not even the year after that. But you can start worrying about it a little bit more in 2023. The most important job for this entire coaching staff is developing young talent. That's another thing I wanted to talk to when you look at, is David Culley a potential one and done? Like, is he deterring the development of young players right now? I don't feel like he is.
I don't either. And I think that because he's not in that position to do so, maybe in some of his other positions across his career, when he was in charge of position groups, then you would be have more concerns about David Culley. That's why I don't have as much concern about David Culley as I do the rest of the coaching staff, because as we mentioned earlier this week, Tim Kelly was only on the coaching staff this year because Deshaun Watson preferred Tim Kelly, and there was that sliver of hope Deshaun would be your quarterback until everything went awry off the field as well. So Tim Kelly's going to be gone, and it doesn't matter if you made him your scapegoat midseason or changed him from calling plays or not. That's irrelevant. He's going to be gone no matter what. And whether it's Pep Hamilton, which we said is an established coach that people respect, whether he's an offensive coordinator or not, whether you want to give him a go at it, that's fine. But the one thing is he's been known to work and have positive results with quarterbacks. You're going to be looking for one. You're going to be trying to develop the one you already have to see what he has and if he has anything. And so it's essential that he stays on to work with your team. Every other position group, depending on what you draft in the draft, it's going to be of the utmost importance that you get a guy that can develop talent and has a track record.
And that's more position coaches, right? Like, I mean, David Culley's not even involved in the meetings offensively and defensively. He's not in any of the positional groups whenever they come together in meetings as well. So I don't feel like David Culley, as the head coach currently for the Houston Texans and what he's doing on a day-to-day thing, I don't feel like he's directly involved with the development of any of these players.
No, I don't either. And that's why I think that I'm less concerned about David Culley. The one that really kind of baffles me, because maybe this has more of a Caserio impact than we want to believe, is James Campen. James Campen was a longtime offensive lineman that was very respected as an offensive line coach. Everybody thought when he got here, he was going to make a positive difference in the offensive line, especially with what he had to work with. I wonder if Casario's the guy that's decided to tell Campen and the rest of the coaching staff, we're playing musical chairs with our offensive linemen, and we're going to move Howard around, and we're going to move these guys around, and we're going to do these different things. Because I don't believe in my heart of hearts James Campen would be a guy that takes a guy out of his natural position and uses him in multiple areas, unless it's an absolute emergency. And James Campen, I thought, was the right guy for the job. I just don't know if he knows what he signed up for, and maybe above him, they're making decisions he doesn't agree with.
I wouldn't mind helping the offensive line either. Like, whatever you do with Laremy Tunsil is going to have to be decision one when it comes to the offensive line, whether it's trading him, whether he's your left tackle of the future, and then you figure out what position's best for Tytus Howard after you make the Laremy Tunsil decision. But that needs to be fixed as well. One thing that the only way I see the Texans making a change at the head coaching position is if they feel like they can get Josh McDaniels, to be honest with you.
I don't want him.
That's the only name to me that Caserio would fire Culley for.
And I don't want him. I think that by the time you're ready to take that next step, there's going to be better candidates available. And we've been down this road before, and his track record isn't great. And now he's supposed to be the coach in waiting for Belichick, and he's got a sweet deal. But, you know, he left a team on the altar once. And again, it's a bad narrative to be called Patriot South and to keep living that lie that you're never going to be what the Patriots themselves are and have been. But you want to continue to go down that road and tap that resource. Look, one of the biggest black clouds we said that's still hovering over this franchise is Patriots South-esque because of the fact that it's Jack Easterby. Then it continued with the general manager you hired that wasn't on the search firm's list that comes from Patriots South. There's more negativity with it than any positives that it could bring. That's why I don't want Josh McDaniels.
Everything you said I think is sound. Texans don't care about the narrative. They don't care that they're Patriots South. Caserio doesn't. Caserio's boys with Josh McDaniels. And then from like the other angle as well, I believe that Josh McDaniels is the only decent candidate who would take the job in its current state, knowing that he would have the long-term support of its general manager.
You'd rather take this gig and be into it than be the coach in waiting for Belichick?
I wouldn't. I don't think he will. I'm saying that's the only way that they would move on from David Culley. 713-780-ESPN, 713-780-3776. Let's go out to the HRNP listener line. Dan, you're in the Hive of the Killer Bees.
Hey, can y'all hear me?
Yep.
Hey, so, all right. For the future, what would you guys want to build on? Do you build the offense? Do you start building the defense? Do you do a culmination of both? I feel like there's just so many holes that you have to concentrate on one side. Correct me if I'm wrong. Like, I don't know what side the Texans should build on first, especially if you're going to have a rookie quarterback. Wouldn't you want to have a great offensive line instead of going for someone like Thibodeau or whatnot? I'll hang up and listen to hear your opinion.
Dan, I appreciate the call. Look, I'll chime in first, but it's a conversation that you and I have both been on the same page with. There's so many holes to fill. You don't concentrate on one side of the ball. You take the best available player every single time. And if the option is to trade down to get more available players so that you can fill more holes and get better at more positions, you do that. You're not focused on one sole player or one position group because there's too many position groups that are bad. So you just take the best player available and you try and trade down because there's going to be another best player available a couple spots down if it gets you more picks.
I think it's a dangerous position to put yourself in, too. If you're Nick Caserio and you go into the draft saying, I need to find a franchise quarterback. A lot of people think he did that with the third-round draft pick in Davis Mills, that he reached for a quarterback after the Deshaun Watson stuff. And that hasn't looked like a good draft pick, although very obviously just a rookie. If you pigeonhole yourself into a draft saying, okay, we're only going to go defense here. All of a sudden, the offensive player that's on the board whenever you're picking, you're passing over a much better player. I'm always a best available guy, even if you're a really good team. Like, just take the best available dude and figure it out after that. Whenever you're in the position that the Houston Texans are in, when they have maybe four players, five players that you could see being on this team in 2024, that whenever you're hoping you're ready to contend at the very optimistic early part of the window, you have to take best available every time you're on the board. And this is after you call
other teams.
And you have
to look to trade down
every Absolutely.
Time.
I want accumulation of draft picks is
and,
what I
and
want.
And the easiest way to sum it up, Jeremy, is if you are the Texans when Wade Phillips was hired as defensive coordinator and you realize the one thing missing was the defensive side of the football and you let Wade control the draft so that you can draft J.J. Watt, you can draft defensive players that make you better, then you look at a side of the football. Because if you're the Kansas City Chiefs, early in the season you would have said, we need to do everything to address our defense in the draft. That's all we need to do. Or wherever your hole is, because it's only one gaping hole as opposed to holes across the board. So you're not in that position and you're not a winning team. And your roster states, no matter who it is, if they're the best player at their position in the draft, you consider them as your pick. And if they're still on there, as well as teams that are looking to get where you're picking because they want someone else, you trade down as many times as you need. Your player's still going to be there, or a player that's the best at their position group in the first round. And you do the same thing subsequently in the future rounds because you know there are going to be teams that are going, I got to move up a couple spots. The Texans did it when they took Howard because we knew going in, they needed offensive line, but so did other teams. And there were other guys the teams wanted. They were either willing to trade up or trade down. They're going to do that in every round of the draft, and that's the smartest way to go about it.
I wouldn't even mind if it's future picks, to be honest with you.
Oh, completely agree.
If they're not 2022 picks,
it doesn't have to be this year.
Absolutely, because you know it's a long rebuild. You're not trying to get better immediately.
Especially with the first rounder, because in the first rounder, you're still focused on quarterback, and we're talking about Bryce Young and all those different things, and other players. You're still going to need a plethora of picks in future years to make this team better. It's not just this year. Trade that first, trade down for another first-round pick this year, but what the other payback is, the other picks I get back, make them for other years.
Absolutely. 4905 saying firing their coach now would be dumb because no one wanted to take this job. That's a thought that I have as well. Another, they hired Cully to embrace the suck. They need to keep him until that situation changes. That's from D. Green. Dan Graziano of ESPN saying that Houston is likely to give coach David Cully a second year. The season was always expected to be a mess for the Texans, and next year could be as well. It wouldn't be the most appealing job anyway if it were to open up now, and Cully seems likely to get a chance to accelerate the rebuild and convince the Texans he's the man for the long term. Lost me a little bit on that last sentence, but the first half of that paragraph sounds exactly along the same lines that I'm thinking.
No
sounds like the way
it.
You're
no
thinking, too.
It. Yeah, no doubt about it.
And the financial part that you talked about I think is important, too. Like, it's one thing to spend money on a team that's winning. Like, why are you going to throw out an extra $3 million or $5 million or $7 million to buy out David Cully from his job whenever you're going to be 3-14 again? Yeah. Why spend money in a sinking ship?
No question about it. That's why until we get to Forever Young and start worrying about Bryce Young, we're going to embrace the suck. And that embrace the suck, we didn't put a timetable on it. We didn't say embrace the suck for this season alone and it's over. It's embrace the suck until you start showing progress that you can start winning. So until you get to that point, David Culley's just fine. The position groups are where you have to focus on coaching for next season.
Yeah. So David Cully, to me, likely to be back as the head coach for the Houston Texans. Rockets, the number went down against the Nets today. They're now just a 5-point underdog because Durant and Aldridge are not playing. Do they cover the spread against Harden and the Nets tonight?
I don't believe KPJ or Green are playing either. I'd be all over the Nets and the spread.
You saying that the streak's over tonight? The streak is dead?
Over, I say! No matter how much little Andrew is wearing his Harden jersey, even though he's a Net now, he's showing his true colors, wearing a grown-ass man wearing a basketball tank top. At least there's a shirt underneath it. Let's not talk about the shorts and the socks. I'm not on board with that. I'm taking the Nets, giving the point.
All right, that's it for us. Thanks to Brendan for doing all the hard work. He's Joel. I'm Jeremy. We'll talk to you tomorrow, Houston. The Wheelhouse next, ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5.
Years of research and innovation. Innovation Map is the new voice of innovation in Houston.
Pretty cool, huh, Morty?
Covering startups, tech, energy, health, social impact, and more. Visit innovationmap.com today.
Do it now! Do it! Do it! Do it now!
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3-bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort-style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
Leagues Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning Leagues Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting 3 matches at lower.com field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and Leon starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at columbuscrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. Leagues Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.